Good evening, and welcome to Civil Politics on WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Florence, Massachusetts. This is Valley Free Radio, and I'm your host once again tonight, Michael Dow, back from my day job. And with me tonight are our usual panel of savants and commentators, George Claxton and Susan Timberlake.
Good evening.
Hey there. Where are you back from? You were away for the weekend, right?
I was off at a gaming convention in Mansfield, Massachusetts.
Sweet.
Selling board games and dice and other nerd supplies to nerds, and I had a great time.
Are you exhausted?
I'm recovered now, but it was a fair bit of work. But, you know, we made some money, and, you know, it was nice.
Okay.
Basically, it was a weekend of people sitting around playing games. And
speaking of Congress,
I was going to say, which is a lot of fun. And if it was,
I think that was more of a kindergarten fight.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Schoolyard.
Yeah, that's the squabble. No, these are actual fun games I'm talking about. But yes. But tonight we are indeed going to talk about some politics, and Congress is probably a great place to. Well, it's a political place to start. I don't know if it's so great right now.
But first, in nerd news.
Well, in nerd news, yes. I was going to mention this at the end, but we'll just mention it at the beginning. It's a sad day.
Ukrainian fellow.
Yeah. I think he might have been born in the Ukraine, but certainly he was raised in the north end of Boston. The great actor Leonard Nimoy, best known for Mr. Spock on Star Trek, a role model for me when I was a young child,
and
honestly.
An artist. His artistry.
Artist, photographer, film director. Writer, great performer. He died today of congestive heart failure. So, live long and prosper, no more.
Oh, George is making the greeting. What is that? Live long and
live long and prosper.
Well,
live
no,
long.
No, that's peace and long life. And the response is
live long and prosper.
Oh, okay. So it's like a responsive reading for
it is
Trekkies.
It's usually a farewell. Yeah, yeah. No, we're. We're wearing our Starfleet badges openly here. Anyway, so I guess that is actually somewhat relevant to the question of politics, because I do have to I have found over the years that my thoughts about things like foreign policy and how we should conduct ourselves as a country both internally and externally are influenced by some of the values I got from Star Trek, not least of which the idea of maybe we shouldn't be too quick to intervene in other countries because maybe we don't know what the heck we're doing.
Everybody ends up
as
in a cave
so
or something
don't.
When that
yes,
happens,
indeed.
Right? They'd all get sucked into the vortex. And
so, yes. So, if anyone wants to comment to us tonight, you can certainly email us at civilpoliticsradio@gmail.com or Twitter us at civilpoliticsfm on Twitter. And our Facebook community is Facebook/Civil Politics Radio. And you can listen to this show later as a podcast on civilpoliticsradio.wordpress.com. So should mention that at least once on every show, so I just did.
Of course, if you're listening to us now, why bother?
send us an email.
For the dulcet.
Tell your friends.
Yes, indeed. But for the dulcet tones of our voices. Anyway, so moving on to the news of the day and the affairs of the living.
The
yes, indeed.
Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea.
Yeah, we should probably adopt those old-timey radio accents or you know, the intonations that are different.
I'd have to be Gracie Allen. It just wouldn't work.
Well,
say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Oh. It'd be awesome to be George Burns. He was funny.
Yeah.
But aside from that, but speaking of funny and what the heck are you doing, the U.S. House of Representatives has just sort of slapped down a continuing resolution to keep the lights on and, the more to the point, the staff paid at the Department of Homeland Security. There is, I believe you were, correct me if I'm wrong.
There is a bill in the Senate.
Which I think has come through the Senate.
Yep, yes. And it's for the whole year, so it's actually not a continuing resolution.
And it's a so-called clean bill, isn't
yep.
It? Just says...
Stripped out of all the...
Fund Homeland stuff. Security at constant funding levels.
It's actually, I think it's up a little bit, but that's not under contention.
It's up slightly, yes.
Yeah, it's whatever
Is it up to more than inflation? Because otherwise
No.
Then it's just constant dollar funding.
Yeah. In fact, it probably cannibalizes something. But it's a slightly different dollar amount than last year, I guess is the way to put it.
Well, how big is Homeland Security's budget again?
Was it $64,800,000 or something?
Billion.
I'm sorry, billion.
Yeah. Yes. 64 million.
With a B.
64.
That would be like what they just charge for tomorrow or something.
I think they're asking for $64,858,484,000 and some change.
Yes.
For 16. That's the year they're working on.
That's a lot of money.
Yes, it is. But compared to, say, the military budget, that's tiny.
So
that's
what
not
does
even a third of the military budget?
Well, true, and that's not even the secret military budget. So, what does all that pay for with Homeland Security, Susan? I see you did some homework. Good for you. You get a gold star.
Well, this is because I don't know as much about it as my colleague over here. So I wanted to make sure when he said SSSS something or other, I knew it was the Secret Service because I didn't know they were in
the United States Secret Service.
Yeah, I didn't know they were in DHS.
I didn't know they've been stripped away from the Treasury Department. They've been since the 19th century.
And they train at FLETC like the rest of us. For those of you who don't
know, what
is
FLETC?
That is the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. And we have them all over the world. There's one in West Africa, there's one in Eastern Europe, there's one in Southeast Asia.
Where's the closest one?
I usually train at the one in Georgia.
Yes, because you work for the government.
I work for the Department of Homeland Security, which is why I am going to take a back seat on this discussion, because, and let me make this perfectly clear, I do not speak for the department. I am not a policy person.
Or an official spokesperson.
Have we disguised your voice or
no? Or his name? Well, but so any opinions George offers in the course of this show will be entirely those of his own and nothing to do with official government policy. Just so everybody's clear. In fact, none of us have any official capacity with the government.
And I would like to say to Mr. J. Johnson, who is my boss, I'm very fond of the Department of Homeland Security. Thank you.
Well, I do remember actually when you got the job, you were genuinely pleased to.
Yeah.
And he seems like, Jay Johnson seems like a very serious person. Very serious. And the Congress is treating him.
It's a serious job, so.
Yeah.
But at least it should be.
Well, I just mean,
yes.
Compared to some
I actually, on one of my deployments, had a run in with the previous Secretary, Janet Napolitano. In which I got spanked pretty hard for stuff that I had nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. But
you were the nearest person standing there?
I was the guy in charge that happened to be there at the time.
Well, anyway, we can set aside those interesting anecdotes for later. Just among other things,
off the air.
Well, I don't want to get you into trouble because I like the idea that when there's a disaster, you'll be there to help clean up.
Is that phone ringing with a 202 area code? Is that
no?
Let's hope not.
So what does our $68 billion buy us from Homeland Security? Because it's
The rustling of pages, guys.
Well, I see
it buys us a number of things,
including employment for over 240,000 people.
Yes,
it looks like.
And I would point out that most of those people will be at work on Monday. It's just that they won't be getting paid.
Yeah, they said a lot of
and
like
this has happened before.
Secretaries and stuff, like 30,000, sort of administrative.
So what happens? So what happens? I mean, what happens for those people?
I guess they float the government, right?
Paying the bills.
It means that the Coast Guard goes to sea. It means the TSA shows up at the airports. It means that ICE shows up.
That's Immigration and Customs Enforcement.
Yes. It means that all of these people are considered essential, and they go to work.
But how do they then, pay their rent and buy their groceries?
That's the problem.
Oh, they have trust funds.
And this happened previously with the Ted Cruz shutdown a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Now, for disasters, for FEMA, if FEMA has people in the field because that funding comes in separately.
FEMA is the Federal Emergency Management Agency,
yes,
by the way.
When there's tornadoes and floods and things of that
Hurricane
sort.
Hurricane Katrina.
Those
snow.
People whatever, show up to help.
Yeah.
10 feet of snow in Boston.
Yeah.
Actually, no. That doesn't.
Oh, they
count.
Didn't. They didn't. They didn't.
The
National Guard came in and
yes,
helped
the,
them.
Yes, the state government is asking for federal help through FEMA, but it hasn't been granted as yet.
But hurricanes,
yes, in
Sandy
case of
so
natural
forth.
Disasters or certain attacks on the United States, FEMA shows up. Mm-hmm. But that funding is separate from the rest of the department. Emergency funding is separate. So if there's a flood in your town, FEMA can still show up.
Well,
and they get paid.
But surely they'd be essential.
Yes,
and they get yes.
But the guy standing on the border.
No.
No, he doesn't get paid, or she doesn't get paid.
The border.
So
excuse me. The border protection people are not going to get paid. The Coast Guard's not going to get paid. The Secret Service is not going to get paid.
So when the funding goes through, which, I mean, sooner or later it will, do they get paid in arrears? Do they get paid extra? Or
no, you get paid exactly what you earned over that period. You just get it all in one check.
Do you get the interest rate that the IRS charges you if you didn't pay your taxes?
Huh.
Isn't it 14% or something?
You don't get any interest. You don't get any of that. Unless Congress specifically passes a bill that says that additional money will be paid as interest.
So I see here Domestic Nuclear Detection Office,
yes.
Office of Intelligence and Analysis, Office of Health Affairs.
And recently, the Department of Homeland Security also took on cybersecurity.
And I saw that, I think, under some program stuff, or there's some under the Science and Technology Directorate or something.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a National Protection and Programs Management Directorate, United States Secret Service. Should I keep reading? Transportation Security, TSA.
Yeah.
ICE, which we mentioned, but also there's another one, United Customs and Border Protection. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
And then Citizenship and Immigration Services is separate from ICE, because is ICE the enforcement or ICE is...
Well, it's Immigration and Customs Enforcement, so it takes care of both immigration and checking customs as things come into the country.
You mean checking shipping containers at ports?
Shipping containers, though not that many of them.
Well,
of
there's billions
just way
of them.
Too many.
Yeah,
of them.
Yeah. Well, unless we want to hire a lot more people.
Wasn't there a longshoreman strike?
I'm sorry.
Only on the West Coast, and that's over now.
But.
It was
that was
huge.
Pretty significant.
Yeah, it was
huge.
And there are ships backed up off the western coast of the United States waiting to disgorge their cargoes. And some of it...
Spoiled, right?
Yeah, some of the things like food, produce, was starting to go bad.
So, wow, and some of these... there's a lot of the stuff I didn't know.
But that, by the way, is Commerce Department. So,
yeah, please don't call Homeland Security about
right.
that.
I would point out that Homeland Security gets blamed for a lot of things that have nothing whatsoever to do with the Department of Homeland Security. For example, when the shoe bomber flew into the United States... TSA got blamed, even though he flew in from overseas, and TSA, of course, is not overseas.
That's customs.
They don't check.
Well, no, they someone would get checked by TSA when they arrived on the ground in the U.S. When they get on the plane,
by immigration.
Well, yeah. Whatever. But I mean, my point is, they get checked by U.S. government employees when they arrive in the U.S. When they get on a plane in Europe, they're checked by Europe.
Yes,
European security officers. You know, or whatever.
So you cannot blame TSA for that.
Well, and it's interesting to note that we were sort of...
Was he on a no-fly list or anything like that? Or who enforces that no-fly list? The country of origin? Is that it, I guess?
It depends a lot on
the
nature
confusing thing, I think.
Of things. But yes, you also have some confusion as to whether or not certain people can fly into the United States.
People with similar names.
Yes.
People get my understanding is the process for putting
Ted Kennedy was on the no-fly list
right,
briefly.
Exactly.
Yeah, somebody put him on. I think as a
well, he flew over Chappaquiddick. So,
ba-dum-bum.
He didn't. He actually went in.
No, later. I mean,
later. Oh, never mind.
But yeah, well, it's my understanding is that there's some uncertainty about taking people off or the process for taking people off isn't very good, and the process for putting people on is. Inscrutable, from what I hear. So it's not a bad idea.
This is times where I'm going to just beg off.
Well, sure. No, I mean, it's obviously not a bad idea, but I think it's one of those cases where the execution of the idea, it's getting back to the last time I was on the show when we had our discussion about vaccination and whatnot, which was kind of contentious. The idea of vaccinations are a good idea, but Susan's point, which I didn't get, on the show, which led to some tense moments.
Ranker. Most fun we ever had.
Yes, indeed. But which was all about like, yeah, but it's not always done well. And that, well, yeah.
And that, of course, can be said about everything.
Yeah.
It's systems, when you have multiple silos, I mean, this is sort of the IT discussion, but yeah. When you have multiple silos of things, when you're updating two different databases, instead of having one consolidated one, they get out of sync. And I have you on the no-fly list, but Mike doesn't have you on there.
Right.
Or I take it off, and you don't get the update. Or
and people might want to keep in mind too that the reason that the Department of Homeland Security was created originally is to help coordinate between the various departments,
which is why I think it's significant. That what's Susan ran down like a lot of the departments that are sort of
so the headlines
right that are within Homeland Security, and some of them I'd never heard of the Nuclear Detection Office, and
there's a reason for that,
right? Well, it's important.
We've been watching you.
But the National Protection and Programs Director, I don't even know what that does really. I mean, it sounds great, but I don't know what it does. But
if you go on the website, you can click down and actually see what.
But something that everybody's heard of, and we can get a general idea of what it does, but it's not in the Department of Homeland Security, is of course the Federal Bureau of Investigations. The FBI is
Which
not
is
part of.
Where some of the
you
problems?
You would think that it would be.
Yeah. I would think so.
Because the dots weren't connected, and yet a lot of the dots are in the FBI.
Right. Exactly. Well, I mean, Homeland Security is clearly a response to the tragedy of the attacks on September 11th, 2001. And part of what was so terrible about them was that there were reports in field offices. There was a sense that there's something
different
was happening.
Different agencies had different, yeah.
Well, and there was a sense that something
within
was happening.
Within the same agency, yes.
Within the same agency.
Within the FBI.
Yeah.
There were field offices in Minnesota
in
Arizona.
That were sending reports.
Who were sending reports back to D.C.
The field officer was Person of the Year on Time Magazine. Yeah. They had the three whistleblower women. Yeah.
And they completely ignored the information that was coming in. What's more, the CIA had information that they weren't passing on to the FBI because the CIA and the FBI hate each other.
So even though all the pieces were there, and there was the famous briefing that President Bush received, Bin Laden determined to attack within the U.S., which had some of the general ideas of what happened months in advance, but not all the details that would have led them to go beyond, like, Bin Laden is determined to do something, and he's doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm certainly not a fan of former President
Bush. Yeah, remember, they wouldn't get the computer either from one of the...
Right.
They didn't confiscate it.
I'm not a fan of our former president, but there's a huge difference between Bin Laden's probably going to do something sometime and he's doing something now. And I can understand not...
Well, keep in mind that the intelligence services didn't know that he was doing something right then. They knew that, or they suspected
that's the point.
Yeah.
It's they didn't know, but they could have. Because we had the information and we didn't use it. And that was the point behind creating Homeland Security. And it's sad that
of the same issues are...
Well, the FBI, I don't... From what I understand, the FBI is a very insular organization. I mean, I'm not a federal employee.
Maybe secretive.
Well, I'm not a federal... Yes, certainly. I'm not a federal employee. George is, but he doesn't have anything to say on this subject. But it's not something... the problem that Homeland Security was created to address, unfortunately, doesn't seem to have been addressed.
Still hasn't gotten its hooks in. Yeah.
No, because the FBI is still a separate thing.
And the
FBI has its own significant budget. I forget, maybe our producer can look up, but the FBI has its own huge budget, too.
Covering the same areas.
Well, covering some of the same areas.
Some of the cyber and...
I mean, the FBI doesn't do emergency management and they don't do customs and so forth.
But they do respond to terrorist threats and they do respond to cyber security problems and certain other things. So there is still overlap.
Right.
And there's overlap with the CIA,
too. And
look at the Marathon bomber, though. They had a lot of that information, but they're saying now that there was some key information that didn't come
from
the Russians?
Yes. The problem there is that the Russians never actually transmitted the information that these guys had been associated with terrorist groups. And, you know, there's some question as to how much they were associated.
Because they did, we did interview them, but that was, you think it was, or at least what people are saying, you know, is they didn't have.
It's like me interviewing you. I can say.
You have no idea.
Susan, are you planning to blow up the United States?
No, just the Congress.
Well, there you go, you see. Of course, if you said that, I would have to respond.
Oh, I didn't say that then, excuse me.
If you just said no. There's nothing more that I can do, and that's basically what the FBI was faced with.
It's like that moment in that old, in that wonderful old comic book issue of The Tick, where it's like, "Hey, are you that big blue guy who just escaped from a mental hospital?" No. And he thinks to himself, "That couldn't possibly be mistaken for yes."
FBI budget, is that what we're looking
at? I don't
at?
See the budget immediately, but FBI's priorities, number one, protect the United States from terrorist attack, protect against foreign intelligence operations and espionage. Isn't that what Homeland Security does? Protect against cyber-based attacks and high-technology crimes. Combat public corruption at all levels. That is something new. Protect civil rights. That's a good thing. Combat transnational and national criminal organizations and enterprises. Combat major white-collar crime, significant violent crime, support state, federal, local, and international partners, and then upgrade technology to successfully perform the FBI's mission. I would think that would be sort of a...
You should assume that they would be doing that,
yes.
Right?
Well. And it looks like they employ 35,000 agents and other employees, and their budget is about $8.4 billion.
Oh, so yours exceeds it.
Well,
we have a lot more departments.
Yes.
And
responsibilities.
But keep in mind, too, that the other thing that we
and about seven times as many employees.
The other thing that we haven't mentioned is that along with all of these departments and sub-departments, there's also much more congressional oversight and therefore much more congressional meddling.
You mean within each within
the various
sub...
Oh, because the FBI can't...
Three times... The number of congressional committees and subcommittees oversee the Department of Homeland Security than oversee the Pentagon.
Oh, so when you were consolidated into one department, you brought all your committees with you. So if there
Pretty
were
much.
15 committees for 15 departments, now you have 15 committees overseeing one department, kind of.
And there's actually more in the, I think it's 384 congressional committees and subcommittees.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's a lot of oversight, and on the one hand, that is what government is supposed to do. But on the other hand, yeah, that does suggest that maybe some things aren't getting done that could be getting that should be getting done because of, well, too much regulation. Oh my God, am I sounding like a Republican all of a sudden?
Oh jeez, I missed that opportunity. I should have jumped right in there.
Sorry, I'll give you a hand wave next time. But well, and that sort of brings us back to talking a bit about. So Homeland Security's budget has not yet been renewed. Hopefully the House will...
Expires tonight, right? At midnight?
Midnight.
Yes. Hopefully the House will vote and pass the measure that the Senate voted and passed on earlier today.
Yeah, and that was tough for them to pass. It wasn't clear that the Senate was going to pass it. I mean, it was a long day. I was watching C-SPAN.
I understand why people... Why different political interests would argue about how much to spend on Homeland Security and whatnot. And I can even understand the idea of using funding about Homeland Security as an opportunity to force – by the Republicans to use that funding this essential department to force the Democrats to have a real conversation about immigration reform and some of the president's executive directives on that score. That doesn't necessarily seem invalid to me – As a civilian who's not involved in that, but
that's not what they're fighting about.
That doesn't seem
the
to
number
be where,
hasn't no. changed since
yeah.
last.
And I would
summer.
Point out that this isn't really because they want to have a discussion about this. They could do that anyway. Any executive action can be overturned by the action of Congress.
Oh, you mean the immigration piece?
Yeah. Instantly, all they have to do is pass a bill,
which is what the president said not that long ago.
Yes. But they're not willing to do that. They just want to have the fight.
So
well, some folks are saying it's a constitutional
But it's
meltdown.
Not.
Well, does that make sense to you? Well, George obviously says it's not. Does that make sense to you, Susan? I mean, is there do you think there's an argument to be made there or not?
I understand why they're making the argument, but actually
well, I understand.
Article 2, Article 2.
Well, making the argument is simply like it gives you a leg to stand on. But I mean, do you think there's
no, because
it's valid.
If it's really a constitutional issue, there's for Congress or for the president, there's only one place that constitutional issues get decided, and that's
the
Supreme Court. So the fact that Congress passes a law and says this isn't constitutional, it doesn't have any
No.
Wait. it's sort of a funny – it's sort of like we want to remind
people.
But
that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is
– No, I'm saying the Republicans are saying that.
If Congress wants to deal with this, all they have to do is pass a bill on immigration.
Yeah. Well,
and that overrides
and
any
that will clarify
executive
everything.
Action of the president.
Well, it does if it becomes ratified as law.
Well, even if it doesn't, yes. I think some of the discussion –
It changes the discussion completely.
Well, and the rebuttal to the president's challenge to pass a bill, I suppose, is that, well, the president's not willing to negotiate. But honestly, after 6 years and change of President Obama's administration, that really doesn't seem to be a fair criticism of him. It really does seem to me like he is someone – he does seem like someone who very much wants to negotiate.
Look at the last couple of bills that just passed. I mean, there were things in there that he really would have preferred to veto, and they kind of, you know, they got through Congress, and he signed them to not hold them up.
How many bills has he vetoed in total?
Three, I think, isn't it?
Three. Yeah. One of them yesterday or today.
Oh, the Keystone Pipeline funding.
Oh, yes, we forgot about that.
Well, we can pick that up. I think we were going to pick that up. We'll pick it up more in the second half of the show in a few minutes. But so the dynamic of what's happening with Homeland Security.
They're trying to make him say uncle.
Right. Yeah. It seems to be, yes, it doesn't seem to be about the virtue of Homeland Security. And I've been, forgive me, George, somewhat dubious about the Department of Homeland Security since it was created, in part because just because of the name.
I don't like that German name.
We've been watching.
I thought NSA was separate.
Well, that's even stranger, but the NSA is separate. But that name, is it German? Was it Heimer?
I can actually answer that question.
Yes, please
I'm
do.
I'm actually allowed to answer that question.
Oh, good.
Homeland Security's brief is to defend the homeland at home. The NSA should not be working inside the United States, even though they do.
They are.
They can, however, work on you if you're making calls overseas. And they've been doing that now for decades. The NSA has been screening pretty much every call that's made overseas.
Yeah, carnivore or whatever that is.
So is there a part of Homeland Security? And if you can't talk about this, I understand. But is there a part of Homeland Security that in theory anyways, would get warrants to, like, tap my email and read it if it was like, well, we think Mr. Dow has a connection to terrorism, so... Or would that be the FBI?
That would be the FBI.
Okay.
Not that there isn't a division of Homeland Security that might do that, but I'm not going to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, and they certainly should get the info from FBI if there was an overlap.
But you know, again, there's the problem. The FBI isn't always willing to share. The FBI doesn't necessarily share with local police departments or even with, say, the CIA or the NSA or the 100 other intelligence groups that the United States has.
Mm. Well, does it seem to you – it seems to me that there is a certain redundancy. And I know maybe
in
I don't –
government?
Yes, I know. Maybe I don't understand this well enough.
But not the British version where you all get laid off, right?
Right. Not the British redundancy.
You are redundant.
I mean duplication of effort in that you have the FBI, but also you do have – the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and I guess explosives now, and they're also a law enforcement agency. And of course, there's also the Secret Service, which
now who did Fast and Furious? Was that ATF?
It was ATF.
Yeah. ATF. So
they're under the AG, kind of.
They're under Homeland Security, I thought. Are they not?
It's one of those things that technically they're Justice Department, but they also act under the aegis of Homeland Security at sometimes, and they get trained at FLETC.
Well, and that's part of what I think is...
Maybe those transitions take a long time to make people work together.
Well, it seems confused and redundant, and we need to take a break in a moment, but perhaps when we come back we can talk a bit more about does it make sense Was it a good idea?
Is it working out for us?
Does it make sense to have multiple law enforcement agencies that maybe operate in parallel and overlap? I mean, you know, if somebody's smuggling guns, obviously ATF is interested, but I think also the FBI might be interested in somebody smuggling guns.
And the local police department.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And if they're smuggling them overseas, the CIA might take a notice too, as well as Immigration and Customs, because, yes.
Well, we'll be back right after this.
Yes, indeed. So we're going to take a short break. So thank you for listening to Civil Politics, and stick with us until we'll be right back.
Sundays at 10 a.m., WXOJ's radio show, Occupy the Airwaves, has the latest news from the occupation movement, locally, regionally, nationally, and around the planet. Tune in at 103.3 FM or webcasting at www.valleyfreeradio.org. Blogging at occupytheairwaves.wordpress.com. Listeners can call into the show at 413-585-1033.
The Forbes Library staff would like to remind you of the incredible resource that you have in your local public library. We have tens of thousands of books for you to check out, music CDs, movies, newspapers from around the region, the state, in the country. We have a wide variety of magazines and free computer and internet access every day. We also have our incredible reference services there to help you answer particularly vexing problems. All of this is free, locally available at 20 West Street in Northampton, so come by and check us out in person or at www.forbeslibrary.org or call 587-1011 for more information.
A Baha'i Perspective, hosted by Warren Odess Gillette, is a weekly radio broadcast of biographical interviews of people who have either chosen the Baha'i faith as a way of life or who have a relationship with the Baha'i faith. You can listen to the broadcast on Saturdays at 10 a.m. on WXOJLP 103.3 FM. That's Valley Free Radio.
Hey, what's up? Thinking about you. XOXOXO. Want to snuggle, dot, 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 JK. Hit me back. You getting these texts, question mark. We should hang later. I miss you. Holla at your boy. Holla back. Holla back. Holla back. Are you at home? Where are you? What are you doing? OMG. You are making me mad. Are you with your ex? You better text me back. I'm waiting outside your house.
Relentless, aggressive texting is like sending an angry robot to deliver your message. When does the robot become dangerous? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com.
Thatsnotcool.com.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
What if it wasn't always about getting ahead? What if you didn't care about being on the fast track? What if your career goals were to change? Instead of flying off to the big interview, what if you flew somewhere else altogether? To embark on a different track. To volunteer in ways you never dreamed of. In places you never imagined yourself being. Like a tiny island in the Pacific, barely visible on a map, but where needs are easy to see. Or a village on the African continent, where just a little training in HIV awareness can change the fate of thousands. What if you decided to share your skills with others and help someone else get ahead? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Do you and the kids miss Saturday morning cartoons? Amherst Cinema is excited to present family films every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on the big screen. Bring the whole family down to the movies to enjoy these timeless classics, all at a low general admission price. On February 14th, it's the 1961 Disney classic, The Parent Trap. On February 21st, enjoy nine newly restored classic Looney Tunes with The Looney Tunes Review. On February 28th, enjoy animation legend Hayao Miyazaki's beloved My Neighbor Totoro. In the month of March, audiences can look forward to The Wizard of Oz, The Iron Giant, The Adventures of Prince Ahmed, and The Muppet Movie. For tickets and more information, visit www.amercinema.org. Amer Cinema is proud to be nonprofit, independent, and member-supported.
And we're back with Civil Politics here on WXOJLP 103.3 FM out of Northampton, Mass. This is Michael Dow once again returning with Susan Timberlake and George Claxton. And we are continuing our discussion about Homeland Security, what the department does, what it's for, and
what it was supposed to do, and did it work? And yeah,
and the question we were just ending with, and that we chit chatted a bit about for
yeah,
a moment
the county
during the
stuff.
Well, we'll get to that. We'll transition to that in a sec because it's a good point of yours. But do you think that Homeland Security, and George, I know this is a special loaded question for you, so feel free to recuse yourself as you need to. But do we have too much redundancy? Is Homeland Security, you know, like doing all it all over again?
Well, as I was pointing out when we were off air just a moment ago, there's a lot of overlap at every level of the government, and in private corporations too. You'll find it everywhere,
especially the big ones.
So yes, the CIA, for example, serves some of the same all of the same functions as the DIA, which is the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is a separate organization. And of course, within the DIA, you also have naval intelligence, army intelligence, you've got marine intelligence, you've got Air Force intelligence.
Everybody wants their own.
And there are subgroups in there.
And I wouldn't be at all surprised if the CIA is tapping at least the occasional phone line and intercepting the occasional email.
Well, that's part
which
of the,
is
that's
overlap
part of the
with
problem.
The,
they spend
the
a lot
NSA.
Of time fighting with each other over control, over, you know, who owns this particular piece of ground.
Right.
Even at the local level, which is what Susan was referring to, we were talking about that just a couple of minutes ago. I mean, we have a Northampton Police Department, but we also have a Hampshire County Sheriff. And the Hampshire County Sheriff has powers of arrest. The deputies can stop cars on the road. They usually don't, but they can. And, of course, we've got the state police who do stop people on the road. They also conduct investigations and raid houses and do all sorts of other things. Sometimes they do this in coordination. Sometimes they don't.
Well, and the thing that struck me, and this is something I guess not everybody, maybe many people don't realize, is a few years ago, I thought a bill was passed, a law was passed to effectively abolish county government within the state of Massachusetts. And George was pointing out that some counties still have all their county governments, and we don't out here, I guess. But
I think it works better on the Cape. I think some of the places where they do more sort of coordinated, consolidated across the county.
I pointed out that Suffolk County, which is essentially the city of Boston, still has county government. But Suffolk County and the city of Boston also have a separate court system. They have the Boston Municipal Courts, which serve exactly the same function as the district court, the state district court. So you have the state district court in Boston, but you also have the Boston Municipal Court. And you have all of the various people in the courts getting paid, all of the administration getting paid for doing the same things.
And we also have a Hampshire County Sheriff, even though, I guess, technically speaking,
Hampshire County no longer exists.
So, which is fun, I guess.
Well, the county exists, but county government is gone.
Technically, no. The county doesn't exist.
I thought the counties were actually dissolved.
The counties were dissolved.
But Susan, you had a point you wanted to make about redundancy.
Well, you know, I think it's really hard to reorganize. And George, you were saying it. You know, the person who's in charge of the department, the last thing they want to do is dissolve it and abolish it. But in Northampton, they just, when they changed the charter, they changed how, I think, the DPW, among others, were managed. And they gutted the authority of the commission or the committee that ran DPW. So they can't sign contracts anymore, that the mayor has, which kind of makes sense. The mayor has to say, yeah, we're going to buy that piece of equipment or we're going to. But they just lost a longtime person from the committee, Terry Cullinane. And it's sort of that's the hard part, is that you're trying to reorganize. You're trying to not make it redundant. You know, you don't need somebody for the cemetery commission. You know, you need a dump truck for them and a dump truck for the DPW. So you're trying to consolidate, but it's very hard to do well because you lose really talented people. And you know, all the specialties hold on to their, you know, as tight as they can. So you can kind of see how when you reorganize things, you usually end up with some redundant stuff because people are, you know, they sort of hunker down. It's called pushback in the reorganization world. But you have all this pushback from all these organizations, and you look at the federal level, I mean, it's quite striking. What you just said about what alcohol and tobacco and firearms is...
And explosives now, yeah.
Yeah, it's in Department of Justice. So.
Well, they always did have control over explosives.
Yeah. Right, but it got added to the name.
In Massachusetts,
maybe to emphasize
that function is served by the state fire marshal's office, which is actually part of the state police.
Oh, okay.
And up in Worthington, there was just some piece where the fire department's actually a separate nonprofit from the town.
Yes.
So they didn't know, the town doesn't have any accounting of all the equipment that the feds have given them. And
well, not just that, but
they haven't filed any financials.
They also don't control the water.
Yeah.
In Franklin County, for example, there's a number of places where they have a separate water district which funds the fire department.
Really?
Oh, up in Deerfield. Right,
so,
right. Yep. Yeah,
well,
somebody's explained.
In Montague and various other places. And, you know, in some places you might have, say, a fire department for East Jesus, and you have a separate fire department for
West
Central Jesus, which is part of the same town.
Yeah. And Deerfield is confusing. It's not the same town even or something. Yeah.
Old Deerfield has a separate fire department from Deerfield Town.
Yeah, and there's it's a district of,
And it's a separate water district.
Yeah, so this fragmentation's been sort of, it's out there all throughout the country. I think New England's the worst for it because some of our stuff's so historical.
Well, for example, earlier in the show, Mike said we were broadcasting from Florence, which is technically true.
The
problem is that Florence doesn't exist. It's simply a separate section of Northampton. It has no government. It has nothing.
It does have its own zip code.
Yeah.
And its own post office. Yeah.
You may have heard of
Shelburne
Falls, Massachusetts.
Sure.
There is no town of Shelburne Falls.
Mm-hmm.
The town is Shelburne. Mm-hmm. The post office is Shelburne Falls.
Sure. Well, I mean, I used to live in Amherst and the Cushman Village area, which is part of Amherst, but it's just still Amherst.
Yeah.
Or Ballard Vale in the
so
town.
So go
of
to the federal level, and we all have a headache.
Yeah. My favorite example, of course, is the town of Montague, where you have Turner's Falls, which is a village of Montague. It has no separate government. You have Montague Center. You have several other villages.
But Turner's Falls is pretty built up and urban. And,
yeah, and it's all part of the town of Montague.
Huh. No wonder people are confused.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in fact, there was a case once where the state was providing money both to the town of Montague and to Turner's Falls, and it was essentially money coming for the same purpose.
Oh, like for the school district, and it was... Mm-hmm.
I forget exactly what it was
Cherry sheet money.
But yeah, it's problematic.
So you're asking the question, though, is Homeland Security... It was created in like 2002, I think, when they finally passed it, or somewhere in that.
Certainly, no later than 2003.
I think it was later than that.
In 2003, but it was
pretty quick off the gun.
Yeah.
So it's had.
They
10,
were talking about it very quickly.
10 years of sort of process, and you know, there's probably I had a little chart here that.
Which, of course, everyone can see over the air, but nevertheless, it is helpful.
This is radio.
Yeah, but FEMA's like 22% of, plus grants, 25% of Homeland Security. What's another big one here? TSA is 11%. You know, there's different pieces. That's Secret Service, I think.
Secret Service, only
3%. And is this Customs and?
That's Coast Guard.
Coast Guard. That's the Coast Guard. It's 15. Oh, CPB. Is that Customs?
Customs and Border Protection.
Yeah. So that's 21%. So the question is, those things existed before Homeland Security. They were subsumed into it.
Yes.
So those were already sort of functioning, but because the FBI isn't in there, then all the other things are sort of getting recreated to sort of reproduce the FBI, right? Or reproduce the function of cybersecurity or...
Well, actually, no. Before this, there was no cybersecurity organization.
Yeah, so you guys started...
It didn't exist.
Yeah, yeah.
But what you're seeing here is a bunch of different agencies that all got sucked into one agency. The problem is that they retained all of their administration, all of their structure.
Well, they didn't want to cut their funding right at that point.
The structures don't necessarily mesh. And you see that at the local level, as we were just saying, where, yeah, the Deerfield Fire Department and the old Deerfield Fire Department will work together at a fire, but they've got separate administrations. You've got,
and they guard their money carefully. They don't want the other group to get their funding.
Well, you know, if I am sitting here on top of my department, we'll call it the Department of Redundancy Department, and you are sitting over there.
I'm the duplicate department.
On the top of the duplicate department.
And I'm over here as part of the Agency of Superfluousness.
Who is suggesting that our departments should be merged.
And your department's so much more sophisticated than ours.
So which of us is going to become the sub-department head?
Never. Over my dead body.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
And this is what you're facing any time you put a bunch of
things together. It's staplers at dawn.
And one of the discussions that people have all the time is exactly what should fit under the rubric of Homeland Security. Hmm. In Britain, for instance, you've got the Secret Intelligence Service, often known as MI6. You've also got...
Well, MI6, Military Intelligence 6, is foreign intelligence.
Well...
Intelligence 5 is domestic security.
And MI6 isn't actually called MI6. It's the Secret Intelligence Service. It's SIS and has been since, like, the 1930s. But...
They call it CIS.
Yeah.
But the security service, MI5, is separate. And mm-hmm. although they're supposed to work together, they don't always.
Now, who did James Bond work for?
Six.
Six.
He worked for Secret Intelligence Services.
So when he was in Great Britain, he
had no mandate to do anything.
He wasn't licensed to kill. Well, he's licensed to kill, but he
no,
was licensed.
Yeah. No.
Only overseas.
It's a bit like the CIA. CIA isn't authorized to conduct spying operations here in the U.S.
Then why did they take the computers from Congress?
They never do.
Except when they're spying on Congress.
Except when they do. Yeah. Just as NSA is not supposed to spy on people inside the United States. And they never do.
Who is that Democratic Congresswoman?
Except when they do.
Woman, yeah. Senator from Feinstein, who yes. had a, yeah, yeah, she wouldn't.
And
in
fact,
not, that's probably
what they're
not
supposed to commit acts of torture either. And they never, okay, you get the idea.
Right.
You know, that's interesting payback because they took the congressional computers or whatever they did. Dianne Feinstein had a hissy fit. Actually, mm-hmm. she had a major...
She
policy fit, not a hissy fit.
Right. She gave an address on the Senate floor.
She also gave him payback because she released the torture report.
Yeah.
Which basically exposed
all of it. At least not yet.
Yeah. But actually, I just realized that might have been, you know.
Well, and the whole thing was about her putting that together. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's why they were going after her, because they knew that they had committed acts of torture and they knew that they'd gotten caught.
So how do you change that? I mean, how do you?
Well, again, you know, some of this is inertia. If the DIA exists,
given enough time,
and the CIA exists, and they're both doing the same thing, who's going to give up that bailiwick?
Yeah.
You know, again, if you're in charge of the DIA and I'm in charge of the CIA, and we create a new office of the Secretary of Intelligence, mm-hmm. you know. Both of you are supposed to report to me, but if you report to me and Mike reports to me...
I'm going to hold back a key. You're not going to get all my secrets.
Because you know that if I have it, he might get it. And why would you want to give your stuff
back? Oh, and I've been in politics a long time, and in 4 years, you'll be gone.
Yeah.
You know, when your appointment, you know, that kind of...
You know, buddy, you get reelected one more time, maybe. So, like, I got
to wait you out.
Yeah,
I can tell you that the local police are not happy with the fact that the state police investigate all murders in Massachusetts. So they often conduct their own investigations anyway. Hmm. And you know, you have the thing
have
where local police
town?
Departments yeah. get really upset if the environmental police or the sheriff's department start stopping people on the road.
Hmm. Yeah, they all have people have their turfs.
Yeah. Well, and I obviously it takes not only a strong will and a firm knowledge of the intricacies of how the bureaucracy works, but it also means you've got to be able to get your budget passed. Because in the end, if you can really control the purse strings, you can make all these departments knuckle under, because that's what this is all about. It's the funding.
And
you know,
we're hoping, I guess, that the Senate bill will get taken up by the House over the weekend.
Hoping it could be done today.
Tonight, maybe, don't go home. But, you know, Beebe is coming on Tuesday.
Once it's signed,
that's a whole other problem.
Yeah. Well, but they can't be in session if Beebe is in, right? They have to stop their session for a joint session of Congress.
Do they?
Yeah, I think so.
Isn't a joint session of Congress by definition Congress being in session?
But they're in session
for a particular reason.
Yeah, and in the same geographic.
So according to Robert's Rule of Order, they're not going to carry on normal business during that time.
Right, and they do actually follow Robert's Rules of Order,
and,
didn't they?
Yes.
Not?
Yeah.
And I think that's Tuesday.
I would point out that the real problem in Congress is not so much the Democrats in the House hating the Republicans in the House and vice versa, but both the Democrats and the Republicans in the House hate everybody in the Senate.
Well, there's that.
So it's tribalism. Well, they're sort of redundant. Maybe they're trying to hold on to their own power, right?
Speaking of redundancy, so do you guys think that having two separate branches of the legislature is serving our national interests well?
Yes.
I sort of agree.
In a word, yes. I think a bicameral legislature is an extraordinarily good idea.
Do you have any thoughts on that beyond yes as well, Susan?
I had a historian tell me, and I don't know if this is true, but I trust him because he's Yale historian.
We're just crazy.
But he said that actually our form of government comes from the Iroquois.
And that I've heard as well.
Yeah.
No.
And that it's
absolutely not.
That it's, you know, the judicial, the executive, and the senators and the common representatives, and that it came from the Iroquois. So
no, and I can say this with considerable force and some authority. No, we actually developed our bicameral legislature based on the British Parliament. And that came from earlier forms going all the way back to Athens.
Well, yes, but the larger separation of powers between different branches of government, I think the idea is that might be derived from
I would point out that the founding fathers were not in a position to know anything about the Iroquois League or its structure.
I honestly don't know, but I have heard that from
I've heard it from a number
others people. Of I don't
people,
know if it's true.
And yeah, I'm here to say quite definitively no.
Okay. Well,
so
I mean,
we might have to talk about Jihadi John or some of the other things.
Well, we do have a few minutes left. So one thing I guess
FCC vote on net neutrality, all sorts of good stuff for
upcoming shows.
That is
a good thing. Well, another bit of breaking news, sad, in this case, shocking death was of Dmitry Nemtsov, who was a major political opponent of Vladimir Putin in Russia, who had just been attempting to organize a mass demonstration against the war in Ukraine. And he was shot 4 times in the back while walking down the street near the Kremlin.
Clearly a suicide.
Yes, indeed. Yes. So I think it's clear that while there are some significant schisms and some real problems with how our political discourse is operating and the different political factions in our country are coming together to conduct our national business.
At least we don't shoot each other.
Yeah. Well,
or at least not so much anymore.
Well, I think we're still a fair ways away from murdering our opponents.
There was that incident before the Civil War in which
a southern senator beat up a northern senator with a cane. Yeah.
A northern senator with a cane. Yes.
Well, how about the Hamilton? Yeah. Wasn't Hamilton shot? Or?
Well, yes, but Hamilton had it coming.
Oh, okay. As long as you have it coming. Actually, I'm reading.
Yes, that was Burr in Hamilton.
George is a big fan of Aaron Burr. Apparently.
I can see. Well, I'm reading this book written by the mayor of London, another Johnson.
Which mayor of London?
Boris.
Okay. Oh, Boris Johnson. Bread Boris, yeah.
Yeah, yes, about the Churchill. It is. It's really good. I just borrowed it from the library.
Oh, I haven't seen the book.
Yeah, it's brand new, and it is. It's sort of like what would the world have been like if we hadn't had. If Churchill hadn't, you know, when he stood up, he was like the only person. They were all going to cave to the Germans. It was very interesting and sort of the, you know, that Where are the statesmen, I guess, is where I'm going. Where are all the statesmen that, that move Congress and move how we...
I think we have some, but I just think... I think a big part of it...
They're silenced?
Well, I think a big part of it is that the nature of public discussion in this country and the way that statesmen can get their message out has changed. In some ways, we've talked about social media, and I think I've offered the idea that, like, in some ways it's great because social media means that stuff that might get suppressed or not talked about is bubbling up to the surface, like what happened in Ferguson. And, and something we should talk about for next time. I just was hearing that apparently the city of Chicago is operating a black site. Yeah. The Chicago Police Department is offering a...
I would point out that the city of Chicago also had a torture squad, and the commander of that torture squad... was sentenced to 3.5 years in a federal prison. He served, I think, like 2 years and is out now, and he's still going to get his full pension, even though he and his squad tortured literally hundreds of people and forced some of them to confess to crimes they didn't commit, putting a number of them on death row.
This doesn't sound like America to me.
No, it certainly doesn't. I mean...
Forget it. It's Chicago.
It sounds like Chicago.
Yeah. I watched Chicago PD, and I thought it was fiction. I guess it's not.
Well, but
and it's not the only place where it happens either. In New York City, you may remember the wilding incident in Central Park.
That wasn't
the boys that confessed to that were deprived of sleep. They were deprived of food, and some of them were subjected
to counsel, I think, under international
law would be considered other forms of torture.
And were deprived of counsel as well, I think.
Yes, they were.
Which is also kind of wrong.
How are we going to right all these wrongs? I just don't know.
I think the city of New York has paid out over $50 million in compensation for the various bad acts by their police department in just the last few years. And they're going to be paying out more. There was a case... just last year, at the end of the year, where a young man had been put on Rikers Island for 3 years without trial.
Yes, I heard about that. And then, of course, there's...
He wasn't even charged in the end, I think.
Right. And then, of course, you know, there's poor Eric Garner. I mean, there may not be an indictment, but I'm sure there'll be a wrongful death lawsuit.
Oh, yes.
And I don't see how the city will have a leg to stand on.
The current AG just said that civil rights cases are hard to enforce, and he's going to recommend some changes as he leaves. And Loretta Lynch got approved by the subcommittee today, right?
Well, yeah, it was voted to send it to the Senate floor.
Yeah, but Eric Holder said that that's he's sort of implying that's why they didn't bring charges
against George Zimmerman.
Zimmerman, yeah. Yes. And Ferguson, they're still hold. They haven't said yet, but that he's saying that it's very hard.
Yeah, you would pretty much have to prove that Zimmerman had intent to violate Trayvon Martin's civil rights. And
it's hard to prove intent.
That would be really hard to prove in court.
Yes. Much easier to prove the murder rap, sadly.
Should have been.
Florida.
Yeah, should have been.
Forget it, Mike.
Yeah.
It's Florida.
Yeah, so tune in next week to see how you know how we get out of this one.
Yes, indeed. Should I be nervous that George, you keep saying something like that? Are you casting me as Jack Nicholson? Because I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Nobody has slit your nose yet, so that's good.
Oh.
Right. Yeah, thanks.
Yowzer.
That's a reference to Chinatown for those of you who have not seen it. Go out and see the movie today.
Go ahead and dislike Roman Polanski, but genuinely a very good movie. I guess we're running close to the end here, but do you think there's any sort any sign that things might be getting better, that there might be, because of all the headbutting that's happening and how it's not getting anywhere? Do you think there might be some?
I think Mitch McConnell finally moved.
I think, but did.
You know, good. It's interesting. I don't remember which Republican it was, but one of the Republicans yesterday said something very interesting and very intelligent, which was basically once you're in the majority, you actually have to govern.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Mitch McConnell is discovering, that you can't just say no anymore. You have to do stuff.
And I think John Boehner's having trouble, or I think he's really – he's just not –
You have many more people in the House who were very far to the right.
Yeah.
And they, these are the people who keep saying that they want the federal government to be just large enough to drown in a bathtub. And that's a problem. It's a problem to hate the government when you are the government.
Indeed. So I think we're going to have to leave it there, unless, Susan, you have another pithy last word.
I think it's an interesting time, and you know, hopefully you'll have a paycheck when we see you next.
Yes, indeed,
George.
That would be nice.
Yeah, wow. I just think that's criminal. So
I agree. Well, yes, I hope you will get paid, especially if you get deployed at some point, because that would be good too. So that's all for Civil Politics for tonight here on Valley Free Radio. For Susan Timberlake and Michael Dow, George Claxton. I'm Michael Dow.
Yes.
I'm one of us.
I'm the cute one.
We know. So that's all for
us.
Too
much fun last weekend, for sure.
Yeah. Thank you all for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week. Thank you. Bye-bye.